goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of learning at your feet tonight. Glory be to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give all the praise, we give all the glory. We say thank you, thank you, thank you, awesome God. We want to say thank you for the word you have prepared to send away again today. Let no one return back the same way. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains how to succeed when normal sense fails. And we are looking at the law of creativity. Let's read some scriptures. Exodus 31, 1-6. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." Praise God. So we're also looking at Job 32:8. It says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." How do we succeed when normal sense fails? We are talking about when intellectual knowledge fails, when normal knowledge of human beings fail. What do we do? How do we get the answers to problems? How do we get answers to the bugging problems of life? Creativity is simply defined as the ability to see when others don't see. It is simply the provision of solutions to problems. Creativity is the ability to create solutions where there seems to be no solution at hand. Sometimes your creativity provides solutions that make people see that a problem even exists. For example, when iPhone was being created, normally then all we needed was just a phone to make phone calls, communication, that was it. Dial a number, call the person, it picks it up, and you call the call. That was it. That was the purpose of phones. But all these guys started coming up with new ideas. The smartphone, there's a phone that doesn't have a button that you can just, the phone itself is the button that you just press all parts of the body of the phone and it begins to function well. We didn't know that was supposed to be a solution. But when they provided the solution, then we saw a problem that was existing. That is what creativity can do. Creativity can create new ideas that we didn't even know were there before. They can create solutions to problems that did not exist before or that was not recognized as a problem. What is creativity? Creativity is the creation of solutions to the bugging problems of life. It is the secret behind the ancient wisdom that cannot be explained. How do we explain the creation of the Tower of Babel? The burnt bricks to make the blocks for the building. Who taught them? How did it come to their mind that they could burn bricks and that when they burn the bricks, it will become impermeable to water? Who taught our ancestors how to make pots? I mean, that when they make clay pots, they put it in fire in the oven, and when it comes out, it just becomes something that can retain water. Normally, clay will not retain water like that, but now when it's fired, it becomes another vessel entirely. Who taught them? How did they come about these ideas? What about the food we eat today? All our local food, the Eforiro, the Kai Kong, all these kind of foods that we eat today. Who taught our grandfathers, grandparents how to create these foods? The Bible says there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. How did they know that yam was supposed to be food, and that something else that looks like yam is not going to be food? How did they know all these things? There's a spirit that is resident in human beings. Whether they know God or they don't know God, God breathed into the first man, and that spirit is still there. Even though it may be dead, so to say, to God, it cannot communicate with God, but that spirit still works out to bring all forms of creativity. That is why we see that many people who even go about creative works today, innovations of all kinds, they may not even know God. Why? Because there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God gives them understanding. That is why you and I as believers don't have any excuse to be a failure in life. We don't have any excuse not to have the results we desire in any area of life that may be of interest to us. This is not talking about going to school. It is beyond going to school. It is not about intellectual knowledge. There's a wisdom that comes inherent in humans. What does inherent mean? That means you didn't put it there. You find it there and it's just living inside of you. Now, there's a wisdom that is inside every human being. a level of wisdom, a level of understanding called the instinct. It is found even in all kinds of creatures, animals. Why will an animal have the ability to camouflage just to protect itself from enemies? Who taught it that thing? They are not human beings. Who gave them that wisdom? It is, of course, God. There is instinct. There are some animals that foresee dry season coming, maybe several months ahead, and they start migrating. They start moving. They start moving from wherever they are to maybe a very long distance away from where they are. Instinct of survival. It is in even the base level of animals in the world. So that is why you and I cannot be stuck. You and I also have instinct, but today we are talking about a wisdom that is higher than even our normal instinct. Our normal instinct can provide a lot of solutions, but there's a wisdom that is higher than that. What do we do when normal instinct fails? What do I do when normal solutions to problems of life fail? Almost every gift of God comes in seed or raw form and must be cultivated or refined. Remember and note this: if you don't cultivate it, it won't germinate. If you don't tame it, it won't be useful. In fact, it can be harmful and wild instead. Every seed has the potential of a great tree, but only if planted. I'm going to explain all this again. Every gift of God comes in raw format. That means if you are an artist, for example, that gift is there naturally. You can naturally create some things. But if you are not trained, or if you don't train yourself, if you don't learn more, that thing will just be like raw material or a seed that has not been planted, that has not been cultivated. For example, the same dogs we have at home, the same cats we have at home, if you see them in the wilderness, they are called wild dogs, wild cats. Do you know tiger is a form of cat? But that tiger, if you see someone, he wants to kill the person. Yet we have dogs at home that we tame, big dogs at home that we tame, and they are just friendly. They are wagging their tails, becoming friends with you. That is how some gifts can be to some people. Do you know thieves are very good? People that can plan, execute their plans to go and rob a bank with all the police there, and they still overtake them and rob the bank successfully and leave. There's a wisdom in them. But because this wisdom was not tamed, it now became wild. That is how our gifts can be. The gifts in you, the natural gifts that come with us, natural gifts of our body, natural gifts of what we can do, of the creative things we can do, somebody can just sing naturally. If you use your natural voice to sing, the person will never get anywhere. But you need to start training. You need to start learning the food to eat. You need to start learning what kind of water to drink, what kind of food to eat, when to eat, how to train your voice to even do better. Because whatever you have, it comes in raw format. God hardly gives you anything in his final state, because God created us as creative beings so that we also continue from wherever he stopped, so that we can do things better and better and better. So we need to know that every gift is a seed. It's a potential that can become a great tree, but it will only become that if we plant it, if we put it down on the floor, if we humble ourselves to learn more and to become more. We are still looking at the law of creativity, how to succeed when normal sense fails and when nothing else seems to work. So the question today is, how do I maximize creativity for good success? We all are here today for answers, for us to know what to do when it looks as if my back is against the wall and I can't move again. How do I break free? What do I do next? My business has been at the same level for quite a while. What do I do to get to the next level? What do I do to have the success I actually want to have? There is something in you when you started that business. There's something in you when you started that career. But now it looks as if maybe everything is just normal and you're not having the expectation you had at the beginning. What do I do to move forward? Number one, which is very, very important, there is nothing as strong as a made-up mind. Do you know why terrorists succeed most of the time? They just succeed for a long period of time. Yes, they eventually fail, but they can do that thing for a long period of time and have a lot of success. Why? Their mind is made up. They are ready to die. They are not scared of death. Most of us are scared of death. You don't want to die. But somebody woke up in the morning and he said, I'm going to use my life to kill other people by dying alongside. It's difficult to tame that kind of person. It's difficult to stop that kind of person because he has decided to die. So when you make up your mind, there's a scripture that says, I've set my face as a flint. What's a flint? A flint is a type of rock, a very hard rock. That rock is so hard that it cuts into things. You can use it to cut wood, you can use it to cut a lot of things. The people of old, they used this kind of flint to cut their animals and all that, maybe when they didn't have knife and all that. When your mind is made up as a flint, before I continue with that flint thing, there's a scripture, several scriptures, that talk about people that said, I put my life in my hands. That means I was ready to die. I was not scared of whatever happened, but I was just going to have success. I must have success. And this thing I want to do, I will do it. That is the spirit behind creativity. That is the spirit behind success. There's nothing as strong as a made-up mind. When you make up your mind that this thing, I'm going to do it, there is nothing that will stop you. When you make up your mind that this business must succeed, I don't care how long it takes, but it must succeed. Whatever I need to do righteously, I will do it. And this attitude begins with the attitude of there must be a way out. If you're going to write anything today, write that down. There must be a way out. Always use that term. Bishop Oyedepo was giving a testimony about one of his daughters, that the daughter was dying in the hospital and he sat on his chair. He just started saying, there must be a way out. There must be a way out. That is where it begins. It wasn't even about praying now. It's not about fasting now. It's not about speaking in tongues now. But he made up his mind that there must be a way out of this situation. And when he was still talking, before he knew it, some scriptures came. And he said, oh, that's the way out. And he called somebody. He'd even go himself. He called somebody and said, go and read this scripture on this daughter. And they said, when they read the scripture, the girl began to get well and became old and alive today. There is a way out. There must be a way out. Look at that situation of your life, whatever you are going through, whatever the challenge is, and say, there must be a way out. I am not giving up on this business. I'm not giving up on this career. I'm not giving up on this right decision. This thing that God has told me, there is a way out. There must be something to do. If God said it will be successful, then what am I to do? There must be a way out. There must be a righteous way out. Once you have that mindset, what does mindset mean? It means your mind is set. As a construction person, I know that concrete, and I know that most of us are familiar with this, you must have seen one place where they're constructing a building. When they mix concrete, what happens? It is flexible. Cement is like powder. You can play with it in your hand. Water is liquid. It flows. Granite, you can still play with it. But when you mix all this together with water and you allow it for a while, maybe 1 hour, you begin to see that that thing that was in liquid form, that thing that could flow before, has set. That is what mindset is. The mindset you have, maybe when you were small, you had a particular mind. Let's say you have a mind. Your mind was flowing here and there. When your parents say, do this, you will do it. Somebody else says, do the other one, you will do it. Your mind was flexible. Then there comes a time that you have a mindset. That means your mind has set like the concrete. It was flexible before. Now it's just solid. It begins to go in a particular way. That is the attitude of a strong mind, a made-up mind. You have made up your mind that in this situation, I'm not going to fail. But just make sure you are doing it in righteousness. If God has said it, you are saying, I will not fail. Then you're asking God questions. Then ideas begin to come. They said, necessity is the mother of invention. Invention is also another term for creativity. It is creativity that leads to inventions. When you say, this thing must be done, this soul must be saved. All these souls I have agenda to save this year, they must be saved. This step I'm taking that God has approved of, let's also put that there, that God has approved of, this agenda must be done. Then you begin to have a lot of creativity. A lot of invention begins to come your way. So if there's anything you're going to take in today, take that away. That a made-up mind is the first step to creativity. A made-up mind, when everything else has failed, tell yourself there must be a way out. That means there is still something that has not failed. Even when you try something else, it still fails. You still tell yourself there is still something else. I pray that the grace for us to have this kind of tenacity may be released to all of us in Jesus' name. Then number two, see every problem as a challenge. In fact, if possible, don't call anything problem again. Call it a challenge. Say, this challenge has come my way. There must be a way out. I must have the solution. I must have the success in this place. There must be a solution. Every problem, see it as a challenge, a stepping stone, not an hindrance. If a problem comes your way, just say, no. This is a stepping stone. Because when I succeed and overcome this success, then I have known one way out of it. And like I said in one of the episodes before, God was teaching us that if you think you have mastered anything, you have not mastered it until you have been able to reproduce it. If you were able to become successful in anything you are doing, wait, don't rejoice yet. Yes, rejoice, thank God, but don't feel that you have achieved anything until you are able to reproduce it in your life. And somebody else can reproduce it in his own life too. Then you already mastered it. You are a master of something when you are able to reproduce that success over and over again. For example, if you are able to make 1 million, relax. If you made it once, call that one luck in quotes. I know there's no luck in the kingdom of God, but say, oh, I was lucky in quotes. God just favored me. Then you have to be able to repeat that process until you make the million second time. Then, hey, now I'm beginning to know it. You made it the third time. Yes, now I know the secret. So for you to know the secret of anything, it is when you are able to repeat that thing over and over again, you are able to reproduce that success, then you're a master of that thing. So see every problem as a challenge, a stepping stone, not an hindrance. So when a challenge comes, tell yourself there must be a way out. I am not failing, I'm not giving up, I must succeed. That is the first attitude. Then second, how do we maximize creativity? Exposure. Now, before we continue, let's know that the approach we are using today is not the approach of intellectuals. It's not the approach of what you will read in your Google about creativity. Some of them are going to be there, but we are talking about the kingdom of God. How to have good success in the kingdom of God. How to be able to solve any bugging problem of life. Exposure. Now, what is exposure? Exposure is subjecting yourself relevant information for you to have success in that area of life. That is what exposure is. How do you have that exposure? Number one, you can have that exposure probably by reading a book. Because now you have access to information you didn't have access to before. You are now exposed to that secret. You are now exposed to new information. Like we know, a new information can change all your decisions. For example, you wanted to marry somebody, and a day to that wedding, you just discovered that this person is a thief, like armed robber. Will you still go ahead? Maybe you wanted to do a business and you are set, you've gathered your money, you are ready to invest, and just before paying, you realize that those people you wanted to do business with, they are fraudsters. Will you go ahead? That is the power of information. That is the power of exposure. A little more information in that area of life can just guarantee your success. For example, you are doing a business that is just going down or, you know, at the same level for years. And you are like, the first thing, there must be a way out. Now, this is not a problem, it's a challenge. Then the third thing is, let me get new information. Because with the new information, I can know what to do that I didn't know before. So, read a book, watch a movie, watch a video that teaches what you can do in this area of life. Watch documentaries. It can give you access to new information. So, exposure is one of the secrets of creativity. Then, number four, experience. Your experience is not a bad thing. All the wrong things you went through in time past, it is to train you for the future or to help you train other people. Past problems and experiences are supposed to become pedestals for solving future challenges. They are supposed to be your stool that you step on to get higher because you experienced before. For example, maybe you did a business and you lost $100,000 from that business. Now you realize why you lost the money. If you want to do that business in the future, do you think you're going to lose $100,000 again? Most likely, you are not going to. If you have already found the secret, you know, it's because I used this thing then, it's a fake product. What do you do now? You look for the original product. You look for the original raw material. Because you now know that, it's because I used the wrong ingredient. That's why I had the wrong result. So all your past experience, they are supposed to be a pedestal in your creativity of the future. So your creativity, your solutions to problems, you add A plus A plus B to now form your C. That is how it works. Look at all the past experiences. Now, you don't have to be the one who has this experience. it could be the experience of someone else, and that's also something you get through exposure. Now, somebody has gone through a problem before. Maybe you want to get married. Somebody has a good marriage. Do you have to now test your own marriage to be able to have a good marriage? No, learn from them. Or you see somebody who has a bad marriage or doing business wrongly. If these are people you are open to, you can just go and ask them questions. Now, why did that business fail? There are people you can read about online, businesses that failed, why it failed. You're a minister of God, people that failed in ministry. There are people, like I think I've shared it before, there is someone that somebody told me about that in those days was so big that he could bring Archbishop Benson Dawson to his church, one of the foremost Pentecostal churches, growing and vibrant. And this man went down because of infidelity, because of adultery. He just fell. How did he fall? By not paying attention to little things in his church. People will come to the church, sit down with their laps open. Ladies, wearing short skirts with their laps open. And this guy was permitting it over and over again. Eventually fell through immorality. Now, if you have learned that and you're in ministry, what do? You find a way to avoid that in your own ministry. You're like, oh no, front seats. If you don't have a long skirt, you tell your ushers, nobody should be taken there if they don't have long skirt. Find a way to protect yourself. So you already learned by the experience of someone else how to overcome the challenges that you're going through. For example, if you want to start ministry, there is no pastor now that should fail. Why? Because there are so many pastors that are succeeding. All you need to do is learn from them. You are doing a business and it's slowing down, and it's dragging. Just look at somebody who's doing it well. Learn from them. Ask questions. Read their books. You surely have the same success. We have seen it over and over again how people are reproducing the success of other people just by aligning themselves with them. It is one of the ways to get experience. You are not the one using your experience now, but the experience of that person is helping you achieve your success. Then, going to the spiritual part of it, how do we maximize creativity? How do we have solutions when everything else seems not to be working? This is a part that every child of God who is spirit-filled must never overlook. Speaking in tongues. If you are not speaking in tongues before, please go and get the baptism of speaking in tongues. You can ask God yourself, Holy Spirit, baptize me with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because there are so many things you're going to miss out in life. One of the ways to access heavenly wisdom, we've been talking more and turning more towards earthly wisdom. Now, if you want a higher level of wisdom, for example, Daniel in the Bible was serving a king, and the king just called everybody who was in the position of Daniel. I had a dream. Now, come and tell me the dream I had and interpret it. Because if you know the dream, anybody can give an interpretation that looks like it. But if you didn't know the dream and you are able to see my mind, tell me the dream, then I know you have the solution. That's what the king did. And that's exactly what we face in life. Clients will tell you to do something, but what they have in mind is actually not what you think they have in mind. When you have the Holy Spirit, you can see beyond what they are telling you and do what they want. And they're like, oh, this is exactly what I want. And sometimes they don't even know what they want. Now they want you to interpret a dream they didn't even have. The Holy Spirit can help you do that. How do you access this kind of wisdom? Through speaking in tongues. By praying extensively in tongues, you can access wisdom that is beyond intellectual wisdom. That's spiritual wisdom. You can know things that your colleagues didn't know. You can know things that others didn't know. It is real. This is true. I have not seen one person who is doing well in the kingdom, like great pastors who are wealthy, who are doing well, that will never emphasize the place of speaking in tongues. I have not seen one of them. Is it Bishop Oyedepo? Is it Baba Adeboye? Is it Miles Muro, Mike Mundock, Kenneth Copeland? All these people, they are super wealthy pastors serving God. But all of them will tell you, one of the major secrets is being able to speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, this is how it works. It's just like you want to do a transaction. Somebody is in US and wants to send you dollars. If he sends you dollars, if you don't change that dollar, it won't be useful in Nigeria. I don't care where you take it to. They won't want to take it. They will even think it's fake. Except you go to borrow the change and change that money to Naira. That's when you can spend it in Nigeria, so to say. So, the same way, when you speak in tongues, through speaking in tongues, you access heavenly wisdom that is not useful on earth, so to say. But the Holy Spirit converts it to earthly wisdom. He begins to interpret it to you. When you speak in tongues so much, now, maybe you should try it after now. If there's any bugging problem you have, begin to speak in tongues. Even 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Begin to look at that problem. Begin to think. Take a paper, take a pen, and begin to speak in tongues. Looking at that problem, what is the way out? There must be a way out, and you are speaking in tongues. Before you know it, ideas that come to your mind, begin to write them down. You'll be surprised at how much solution you have and how fast God can reveal secrets to you. Why do we need speaking in tongues? Because our mind is clouded. There are so many earthly wisdom that is clouding our mind on how things can work. And these things are failing, but they are still clouding our mind. But when you speak in tongues, you are pushing aside your knowledge, your human understanding, and you are accessing the wisdom of heaven. And this wisdom of heaven is being interpreted, and you begin to write it down. You may see a solution that doesn't look like it, but it will be impressed upon your spirit that God, even the Holy Spirit, is the one telling you to do it this way and have access to that solution. That is it. Speaking in tongues gives you access to that heavenly wisdom. When earthly wisdom fails, switch to speaking in tongues and you begin to access heavenly wisdom for your earthly success. Then lastly, how do we maximize creativity for good success? This force of faith, like Bishop Oyedepo explains it, faith is the universal currency that is acceptable anywhere in the world. It can be spent anywhere in the world. It is the kind of currency that you can spend anywhere. It is the force of faith that can make you get what seems to be ungettable, in quotes, if there's a word like that. By the force of faith, you can go to lands that have not been exploited before. You can do things that are almost practically impossible. Doctors have said, this person is going to die. And you are saying, no, he won't die. By that alone, you have already shifted on some things in the spirit. And, every time you talk, there are people who are listening. Angels of God are listening. These are the people who are listening. They are saying, what is he saying? Is he in alignment with the word of God? If he's in alignment with the word of God, because they have the responsibility, they are ordained to obey the word of God. When you begin to declare things in line with the word of God, then they begin to confirm it, because that's their work. Angels of God excel in strength, and they are swift to confirm the word of God. But if you speak negatively, demons will be the ones to come and do what you have said negatively. But when you speak according to the word of God, that's why angels are at alert. It's just like a general when he makes a decree. Any soldier that is lower than a general will just begin to act. If a general says, shoot that guy, the soldiers on them won't almost know the time they will take a gun and shoot, because he's higher than them. The problems he will see, they won't see. So the same way, as a child of God, we are higher than angels of God. So when we decree the word of God concerning anything, they have no choice than to go ahead to confirm it. So going to our point one again, the strong mind. When your face is set as a flint, when you decree, now you're not just saying there's a way out, you are saying it now with the spirit of faith. He said, we also having the same spirit of faith, we speak just like those of old spoke. So you too are speaking exactly that there must be a way out. When you say that in faith, you will see how the way out will begin to come. So today, this is where we are going to stop today. I know there are many things to say about creativity, but this is going to be our focus today. Just to round up, number one, a strong mind. Make up your mind to declare always when challenges come that there must be a way out. Then number two, see every problem as a challenge and a stepping stone and not an hindrance. Then number three, exposure. Expose yourself to new information. Read, study, learn. That is the way to have access to wisdom and to knowledge. Then number four, experience. Your own past experience, let it come to play when there is a problem. When there's a problem, a challenge facing you, and it looks like there's no way out, just look back. Maybe 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 month ago, no matter how long, I was able to have success when this kind of challenge came. So this time around, I'm going to have success again. So that is experience. Then you can use the experience of other people. Testimonies comes to play here. Go and look for the testimonies of people who have achieved the same success and begin to plug into it, because testimonies have the power of reproducing themselves. If God has done it before, he can do it again. Testimonies just prove to you that God is in your neighborhood. If he's visiting your neighbor, it's because he's around. Then through speaking in tongues, when you speak in tongues, you begin to access unusual wisdom. That business that has been crawling for years, it can just begin to find momentum by you accessing divine wisdom. And lastly, the force of faith. And that's where we are stopping today. Nothing is impossible except you say it is impossible. And nothing is impossible for him who has faith. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's always remember that. that God makes all things work together for good if we will only declare and believe it. Praise the Lord. So all of us, if you have any question or comments or any reaction today, please, it's time for us to do that just before we end the episode today. Do you have any question? I think you can just unmute and ask your question or your comment. If you have been blessed today, you can say that also. Praise God. Yes, good evening.
Yeah, I'm so much blessed tonight, and I really appreciate the kind of insight that you're giving to us. Like what you said, you should have a very strong mind. Like what Bible said in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 33. He said, "He that receiveth a testimony has set his heart that God is true." So it's making us to realize that without our mind, that there is nothing can happen. Secondly, about exposure, you know, he said it's good for us to expose ourselves to many things about reading, because it's good to learn from the history. And thirdly, again, what I just see is about experience. You know, information is not the same with experience. What we have experienced in the past is part of what makes us stronger, or it's just like it equips us for us to bear whatever we are going through now. So I'm really blessed tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Okay, let's just end it because of our time. I'm very sure that we have been blessed today because I've been blessed myself. And I pray that the grace for us to be able to maximize all the secrets we've learned today may be released unto us afresh in the name of Jesus. Let's try to listen to all this episode. No, until you listen to something twice, you may not really realize how much you have not learned. So let's try to listen again and we'll be blessed in Jesus' name. TheGoodSuccess.com